Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live into the Common Workspace Studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. Looking forward to a show today. Our fairly frequent and hopefully always timely update conversation with Edmund Marquez, board member of the Rio Nuevo District. We'll talk some Rio Nuevo. We'll talk some downtown. We'll talk really all the way out to Wilmot. As we like to remind our listeners, it goes out fairly to the east side. So we'll talk about the Rio Nuevo District updates, film in Tucson, and more. And then we'll sit down with Marv and Joyce from Hem and Her, part of our Business Spotlight series in partnership with Vanguard West Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. That's our show today, talking about Tucson. Edmund Marquez, I had a guest on yesterday for our Monday morning news hour. We talked three F's: football, film, and the future of downtown. Oddly enough, that turns out to be a bit of a tease for the two F's we'll talk about today: film and the future of downtown. Edmund Marquez, good morning to you.
Thank you, Zach. Great to be here. And I would love to talk football. We can do that for the whole time I'm here if you want to.
But yes.
So, you know, you and I were talking off the air before we went on the air. There's so much going on right now in our community. It's almost mind-blowing. There's so many things going on. Rio Nuevo-wise, I mean, if you want me to jump right into Rio Nuevo, we can.
Let's do a quick Rio Nuevo update.
So Rio Nuevo, of course, we got hurt by the economy as the economy turned. And we are on our way up into more healthier financial months, which have been fantastic. So you're starting to see us play a little bit more. What's in the news and what's fresh right now, and I was telling you, Zach, I've been getting so many calls from different TV stations doing interviews and things on it, is Rio Nuevo, we just established a $500,000 entertainment fund. And what this fund is used for via Rio Nuevo is to attract movies and television to be filmed here in Tucson. As many of you may know or not know, state of Arizona used to have a federal tax credit back from 06 to 2010.
I did not know that,
yes.
Actually.
And it was big. It was a big time. So, Hollywood could come here, film a movie, and get a tax credit, and they'd put that against their budget, and that would make us competitive versus other states, and they'd come to Arizona. We sunsetted it in 2010, and so we've been out of the movie business for so long. And if you think about back in the day, we had Can't Buy Me Love, Tombstone. I mean, think about all the great movies. Think about old Tucson. We've been dormant for the most part, and the states around us, California, New Mexico especially. New Mexico, the Avengers is filmed in New Mexico. You saw that, what was the movie with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper?
A Star is Born.
Star is Born. I mean, he's singing about Arizona.
You're testing my pop.
You're good, man. But you're good. But literally, A Star is Born, and yet they're talking about Arizona. Yet they didn't film one day in Arizona, even though the movie's, but that was all filmed in New Mexico. Bottom line is, we at Rio Nuevo, we started some conversation with a couple TV shows from major networks to come here to Tucson, and we've put together this $500,000 fund to incentivize them. So we're looking to have conversations with more movies and television shows so that they'll come here and film. And why? It's an economic juggernaut. So they come here, and obviously they need to film in our district, and they need to be an economic boost within our district, which is downtown, down Broadway, all the way to Wilmot. But we're looking for them to stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, hire our extras, our actors, have their filming locations here in downtown Tucson. And the one we're having conversations with now, which is kind of starting to get leaked a bit in the news, which I won't leak anything here, but they're talking about 40,000 hotel room nights and a $50 million budget filming here in Tucson. So that's kind of top shelf with what's happening with Rio Nuevo, besides all the great updates with their TCC. We're putting $65 million into your TCC. And I got to tell you, Zach, I've toured it twice lately, just the music hall alone, and it's mind-blowing. It's beautiful. There's grass. There's flowing fountains that were once empty. There's new chairs and seating in the music hall. There's new lights. There's new sound. There's new, oh my gosh, the restrooms that look like they were 1972 are now 2021 restrooms. I mean, it's really basic stuff, but it looks fantastic, and I think we no longer have to be embarrassed when a performer comes to town and performs in our music hall. We can literally be proud at what the experience is going to be. And you know what? As Tucsonans, we deserve a fantastic music hall, and you know what? We now have one.
Edmund Marquez, I know many of those listening even as well will disagree with me on this. I know I can feel like the minority, but I think I'm right, so I'm okay with that, Edmund. Is I think if you look at thriving 21st century major cities, and I would call Tucson that. I think we need to be calling Tucson that as the 33rd, 32nd largest city in America. You see that at the foundation of a lot of what is going well there was specific, timely, and time-bound public sector dollars invested for a multiple of private sector investment and let other sectors and other industries take over. Whether it's the Research Triangle on the East Coast, whether it's Silicon Valley on the West Coast, there was a little bit of timely public sector dollars invested for a multiplier of private sector investment. And I just even think with the movie and film conversation, a little bit from Rio Nuevo could be an inspiration for the state to look at what does a state tax credit look like, could encourage the state to look at federal tax credits for movies and film. I was reading some of the news about what you guys did earlier this month, and I sense that in there is maybe this can start a trend that is bigger than just Rio Nuevo for film back in Tucson again.
You're a brilliant man, Zach. You're a brilliant man. So you're exactly right. So at the Rio Nuevo board, we are, I will say, extremely confident that the state of Arizona is going to see what we're able to do here in Southern Arizona, and we think there's a great chance that they renew our tax credits, especially now. I mean, the income's really good for the state. Federal, obviously, is printing money like it's going out of hand, going out of style. So I think you're going to have a good chance of seeing us renew our federal tax credits. In regards to what you said earlier, you nailed it. I mean, the success of this version of Rio Nuevo, obviously the past Rio Nuevo didn't do so well. This Rio Nuevo of today, we're all about public-private partnerships, is what you just said. And so, yeah, we've used a little bit of state dollars to incentivize the private or public sector to develop something. So it's been fantastic, and we've had a great success so far with Rio Nuevo. And I say it before on your show, we have $330 million worth of projects happening right now downtown. And you know what's cool is you and I are sitting in the common workspace. And I've never been here before, but Rio Nuevo, we invested $50,000 in this space to help revitalize it because we wanted to keep young entrepreneurs here in downtown. And, you know, it was really cool to walk around here this morning. I'd never parked in the library parking, and that was kind of cool. And then to come into Common Workspace, you guys have created a really hip space here, and that's partly with the help of Rio Nuevo. So proud to be here. So kudos to you guys.
Edmund Marquez is with us, board member for the Rio Nuevo District. I think we'll get some updating as well done on the other side. I want to mention two critiques of Rio Nuevo that I hear out in the community, and would love to get your answer. I'm excited about what's happening here, but this isn't intended to be a hype show. I mean, we want to talk about the issues. Before we go to break, a minute or two, do you have anything else update-wise going on in Rio Nuevo? There was a meeting earlier this month. There's a meeting today. You're heading there after this. Anything that should be on our radars here in the Rio Nuevo district?
Gosh, I think there's a lot going on with the Sunshine Mile right now, which is fantastic. If you drive down Broadway between Euclid and Country Club, you'll see that the construction's really coming along. We're investing in about 40 different properties down the Sunshine Mile, so you're starting to see RFPs going out. And we just worked a deal for a location which is our bungalows, to be kind of the center of the universe for the city of gastronomy, which is really cool. And we just worked a deal in our last board meeting to move one of the major companies, a major brand that we all know, which I can't mention right now, to move downtown, which is great. They were looking to move somewhere, and we wanted to attract them downtown, so we put some incentive up for some of their parking. There's a lot going on. I think probably one of the pushbacks you and I talked about before we started the radio show was it kind of seems like we're always working with the same developers downtown, which I hear you. It's just those are the folks that have purchased the properties downtown that are bringing properties to life. And so, yeah, it seems like we're working with some of the same people. They're just those that own the properties. So I'm with you. But just know that we are completely here for the small businesses as well, whether it's Common Workspace or that, we built out the front seating outdoor areas for the restaurants during COVID to the, gosh, the $1 million+ that we put into for care dollars for the businesses in our area. But yeah, there's a lot going on with Rio Nuevo. Are we perfect? No, but gosh, we try hard to continue to push forth this economy, and we need it. And I think one of the things we should talk about after the break is talent attraction to our area.
Let's do it. I've got three things now I want to fly through with you. I think we can do it in the second segment. Matt, let's spin us away to a break. We'll go visit some of our sponsors who make the dream work here on this program. When we come back, Tipping Point with Zach Genser returns. Edmund Marquez, a Rio Nuevo District Board member. We've got a lot to talk about. We're just getting started this two-segment conversation today. We'll be right back on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice.
The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Genser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Good morning again, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. We are here live in the Common Workspace Studios on AM 1030 KVOY The Voice with Edmund Marquez, board member of the Rio Nuevo District. Edmund, we got an update about some of the high-level exciting things that I think Rio Nuevo is helping to spur on. Again, I think there is a place for pointed public sector investment to create multipliers of private sector investment. That has been the bedrock of innovative, thriving communities. I think Rio Nuevo does a piece of that here in our community. But a couple of pushbacks that I've heard to the work of Rio Nuevo in the community. And one is Rio Nuevo there for the small business and the entrepreneur? I mean, and I've heard that over the last 2 or 3 years. You kind of hinted at it in the last segment that there's, you know, I don't know the number, but there's kind of 10 people who own a lot downtown, and that's who you work with. But I do think Rio Nuevo does some investment in small business, whether it's downtown storefronts, whether it's along Sunshine Mile. What's in it for the small business when it comes to Rio Nuevo?
Gosh, I think you could start a mile high and just say overall, our economic impact from some of the bigger deals we do, obviously kind of flesh out to some of the smaller businesses that occupy some of the properties that we're investing in. I think a lot of the things that we do as small businesses don't hit the newspaper, like some of the big, like we're building a skyscraper. I mean, that kind of stuff hits the newspaper.
Super bummed to hear 75 East isn't going to come
out.
Oh,
I know it. I know. All I can say is we did everything on our side that we could do. That just unfortunately didn't play out.
This would have been the largest building built in Tucson in I forget how many years, but it would have been big.
And almost
how many stories?
I think it was we ended on 11.
11. It was supposed to be 14 to start.
Yeah,
right?
It started kind of morphing over time. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. That piece of land is still there, so the night is still young. It's 2021. We don't sunset till 2035, so we have some time. If you look at us with small businesses, I mean, what comes to mind immediately is the deals we're doing right now with Leroux's. Leroux's, as some people call it, Leroux's, which is an institution on Broadway and Campbell for so many years, Mexican restaurant with a wonderful tamales. We're looking to bring Leroux's back bigger and better than ever. Rocco's Pizza, which has been on national, TV food shows for years. We're looking to bring Rocco's back in a bigger, better fashion, which is fantastic. We've worked on so many different restaurants, and we're sitting in common workspace that we invested in. There's a lot of them. There's probably too many to mention. But yeah, we'll definitely play with the smaller deals as well for small businesses. But I think, for us to get the most impact, it is going to be some of those larger deals. And really, a lot of our deals are real estate related. And most of the time that we're talking real estate, you're talking about medium to larger investors that are dealing with real estate and developing something, because that's what it takes, is the development of a certain block or a certain building. I personally feel, and I can get some pushback, I'm sure, on this at some point, I strongly feel that Tucson is under revitalized, under redeveloped. I mean, we have so many properties, and I know there's a fine line between what's historic and what's not historic. If it's not historic, my gosh, let's invest in the property, let's improve the property, let's rethink the property, which is a perfect segue to how do we attract talent. So did you attend the Sun Corridor lunch?
I was there, Richard Florida.
So Richard Florida's there talking about in this post-COVID world, we have to attract talent. The talent wants to live where they want to live, and now that they can work remotely, they can choose the city they want to live in, whether that's San Diego, whether that's Austin. And believe it or not, have you ever studied a U-Haul report?
I have.
Yeah, so good. I told you you're a brilliant man. So if you study a U-Haul report, you basically study the company U-Haul and where they rent their, just call them trailers, the travel trailers or trailers, where they rent their trailers, and when you're looking at one-way trips of where they end up. And that's where people are moving to. And believe it or not, Tucson, I think last time was like number 8 on the U-Haul list. The last time I saw, a lot of people are moving to North Carolina, moving to Tennessee. And you're thinking, why isn't that the San Diego and Austin's of the world? Why isn't it San Francisco? Well, San Francisco, that's a whole nother mess. San Diego, cost of living, San Francisco as well, cost of living. Austin, it's crowded nowadays. And the cost of living is boom now that they've done such a great job. If you think about some of these companies they've brought, you know, Intel, et cetera, and all it's done is increase the cost of living.
Edmund, you're not going to like me for saying this, but Let me jump in. You know, for years we've said Tucson could be the next Austin.
Yeah.
We're the next Austin, but not in the ways that we hoped.
Okay, valid.
We are.
Prices are going up.
And you know, we're chuckling, but I think it's serious. And yeah, we won't get into it today, but you know my heart on this is, Austin is seeing a talent exodus because the jobs don't pay enough for the cost of living, which we have for different reasons, but it's the same end result here in Tucson. We got to fix it. But people are coming to Tucson. We'll stick on that point.
Well, the kicker is we really don't have the jobs yet.
Right.
And so the people are simply, we're getting overflow, and we're getting wealthy overflow. And it's not just California moving here. You're talking Colorado's moving here. You're talking some of the surrounding states are moving here,
Texas,
because our cost of living is low.
Yeah.
And so you almost can't blame us, right? We've got amazing weather. We've got an amazing community. We're the city of gastronomy. We've got a downtown that's blossoming right now. And so they're coming here. They can afford to. They can sell their really ratty home in San Diego and buy a $1 million home in the foothills. So it's coming. But in regards to talent attraction, we have to be cognizant of our center of our universe. And our center of our universe, believe it or not, think about it, anytime you go to a city, if you go to a city, one of the first places you go to is their downtown. And you can say there's pockets, of course, there's beautiful pockets, Hacienda del Sol, and you think about Tanque Verde Guest Ranch, that area is beautiful, Tucson's beautiful, but you're almost judged based on your downtown. So it's important that we continue to invest in our downtown and grow our downtown. Mm-hmm. And if you think about Rio Nuevo and the money that we invest in our downtown, which is your state tax dollars, if Rio Nuevo wasn't around, we'd be simply waiting for the normal Tucson economy to revitalize our downtown. And so sometimes we get some flack. I mean, sometimes we get flack. I've gotten major players in the community calling me saying, why aren't you investing in other areas of town? Well, you know, we have to invest in downtown because that's our district.
Edmund, I want to just jump in and ask you, because this has been a critical point in the community. I don't want to interrupt you, but this is all, you're here and I want to ask you this. A lot of people say, we heard this around the GPLET, which is a city government property lease excise tax, where the city, through the state, can grant a no property taxes. There's an excise tax, but no property taxes for 8 years. People in this community, smart people that I really respect, have said downtown is hot, right? If these developers want to develop, they don't need Rio Nuevo. They don't need the GPLET. Opus doesn't need you guys, but even the local guys don't need you. Downtown's going to develop with or without Rio Nuevo. My hunch is you disagree. Why?
I would say, respectfully to those, I would say don't be naive. So you can say, yes, it's needed, it's not needed in the downtown area, but you got to think outside of Tucson. We are competing against, we're competing against Albuquerque. We're beating the heck out of them, but we're competing against Albuquerque, San Diego, Santa Fe. I mean, our city is our team, whether it's Arizona Wildcats, it's our team, and we have to compete against other cities. And if we don't have incentives, we just won't get, right? If you look at the two Hilton hotels that were just built across from the cathedral, those were Houston investors, and they came in and they invested money in our community. And that gives us, beyond two brand new hotels in the downtown area, that gives us sales tax, gives us property tax. That's what you want. And if we're giving some incentives, even if it's for 8 years or it's longer, at some point the 8 years is past and we're gaining from all that sales tax generation. You don't want to be the community that continues to say no. I think Tucson did that for so long. We were the community of no, that it's time to say yes to more deals. It's time to actually develop our community into the community of the future. We don't want to be left behind. Right, so that's why it's important to have these incentives in place. You got to compete. If not, you're simply left behind.
Edmund Marquez, we've probably got about a minute and a half, so let's just touch on it real quick. Richard Florida talked about central business districts are going to need to become central recreational districts, meaning not just work 9 to 5, not just play 7 to 11, but that there is a lived experience in our downtown. 60 seconds, Edmund, is downtown going to be livable?
Oh gosh, yes. And it's coming. So I'm standing in front of the Tucson Music Hall, TCC Music Hall, yesterday, which again is beautiful. And I turn around and there's the brand new Flynn Apartments that are built by HSL. And there's more to come in that area, by the way. But there's over 1,000 residential units being built right now, or either been built or being built, 1,000 residential units. That might mean 2,000 people, 3,000 people living in downtown, which creates a whole nother organic economy, right? Because now they need groceries, they need dry cleaning, etc. You're going to start seeing downtown really develop in that way. Is downtown livable? Heck yes. I mean, I would love to live in the Flynn and walk next door and see a concert. I would love to walk next door and see a football game or a hockey game. I'd love to be able to just go play downtown at the playground, go eat at the Hub. It's a fantastic opportunity. And they're also going for big bucks because people understand that downtown is a desirable place to live and be. So yeah, residential is going to be here in a big way.
Edmund Marquez, we'll put a pin. I've been saying this lately. I don't know why. We'll put a pin in the conversation for now. That's our time. But Edmund, thanks for coming on for a couple segments. Usually it's about once a month to give us an update on what's happening downtown. We talked film and the future of downtown. So appreciate it. And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Always. When we come back, a few words from me. And then Marv and Joyce of Hem and Her will be in for our small business spotlight here at the end of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. AM 1030 KVY The Voice, Tipping Point returns in just a minute. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
Good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios here, Tipping Point, with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, every morning. I almost said Monday morning. Having the case of the Mondays today. Every morning, Monday through Friday. There we go, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We just wrapped up a conversation with Edmund Marquez. He's a board member for the Rio Nuevo District. Public sector state tax dollars that are kept in a tax increment finance district here, mostly in the downtown, but stretches all the way down to Wilmot along Broadway here to the east side, used to leverage private sector investment. Asked him about a couple of the pushbacks that I hear in the community. Of course, we got updates about Rio Nuevo, what's going on, their incentive they developed for the film industry that is looking at Tucson, which is fantastic. And I mentioned to Edmund, and I've evolved on this, by the way. If you listen to some of my shows when I was a weekend show almost 4 years ago, I have evolved as I have learned more things about Rio Nuevo, in the sense that I look around the country, and I mentioned this, and real quick I'll recap it and move on, that you don't see too many thriving 21st century innovative prosperous communities that when they got started, right, whether it's the Research Triangle on the East Coast, whether it is Silicon Valley on the West Coast, there was timely, time-bound, intentional public sector investment to spur multiples of private sector investment to get things going, right? I think we often get caught in this conversation of, should the public sector be involved at all? Should tax dollars go to any of this at all? And it becomes this purist philosophical conversation, and that's also worth having. I think the real world nuance to that is public sector dollars can de-risk a market that the private sector would otherwise not be interested in, to the point where then the private sector becomes interested again. And then the problem becomes if the public sector gets in the way, stays too long, invests too much, right? There's like this not too much, not too little, just right. Right, there's a children's fairy tale lesson in all of this, to date, Rio Nuevo has spurred a 10-to-1 ratio of private or of tax dollars to investment by leveraging your state tax dollars that gets to be kept locally in a TIF district for more investment. So we like to have Edmund on every now and again, but as I mentioned, I don't know if you heard it, if you jumped in the middle of it, it's not a hype session, right? I spent the second segment saying, look, people say you don't invest in small businesses, downtown is not yet livable, and is this a place where talent can come and stay? Those three things have to be answered, and we got to most of those, and we'll keep talking about those things. Coming up in just a minute, Marv and Joyce from Hem and Her will be our small business spotlight this morning on the show. But I want to mention something a little interesting that I read yesterday I've got a minute for a super quick monologue. I saw this article on Bloomberg yesterday, September the 20th, in their economics section. So again, it's Bloomberg, their economics section. Employers are baffled as U.S. benefits end and jobs go begging. And I'm really proud on this show that all throughout the way, I feel like I was pretty balanced by saying, look, benefits have a role to play, right? If there are employees who are getting federal and or state benefits, some will have the calculus to stay home. But nobody, in terms of economists, people watching this, corporations looking at this, nobody who is seriously analyzing the issue, nobody. And check me on that. You can go and do the Google search and tell me if I'm wrong. Nobody who is seriously looking at this said that was the only problem. And I think it's fascinating to me, and I'm pro-employer, by the way. This is pro-business, pro-employer. I am baffled that employers are baffled that they're not seeing the surge of people coming back to work after benefits go away. Nobody worth their salt said that was happening. And I think this is interesting, right? Because on this show, it would be so easy to hyper-politicize everything, right? The political talking point was that the Biden administration is paying people to sit at home. It makes for good politics. It makes for good TV. It makes for good radio. But I don't do that on this program because the real world said that that wasn't the only thing. Now, it was a factor. Right, I'll repeat that again. It was a factor, but what the politicization of this moment missed, right? And I love the chessboard of politics. It's a necessary piece of making policy happen. I'm not a hater, but I do hate this piece of politics that it obscures the real world. That we get so caught up in the cable news line that we lose sight of what's actually happening in the real world. And what's happening in the real world is a combination of benefits, which have now gone. There's a lot of money that is now in savings in people's pocket. A lot of people are concerned about the health precautions, especially in the service industry. A lot of people who were cooks and chefs pre-COVID, when they were sent home, said, wait a second, maybe now I go get my degree and I go do a different job. Or I take the degree that I have, and now that everybody is hiring, I go there. There are so many factors happening in the real world, in the job market, and I think when we politicize everything, when everything becomes politics, we detach from the reality of what's happening. And that's why I try to do this show that I do here, because it may not be as fun to hear, it may not be as easy to hear, it may not be as simple to hear, but the real world is not simple. And if there's anything that annoys me about politics and politics today, is that we live in an alternative reality of our own making. We live in an alternative reality of our own making. And we have sound bit the real world to death in the way that we can no longer connect with it and understand what's going on. So employers today are baffled. All the benefits went away. We were told people would come flying back. They get up off the couch and they put their clothes on. They come back to work. That was never the full problem. So I saw this piece out of Bloomberg, right? Again, context is important. It's an economic section of Bloomberg, a business magazine, right? This is not, you know, this is not Salon, you know, this is not Mother Jones, this is not HuffPost. This is a business journal saying, wait a second, you know, we're not seeing the coming back to work that we may see. And then, of course, it ends, well, it's coming up to Christmas. People need money to spend. Maybe that will bring people back to work. The world is a funny, complex place. And I'd be lying to you if I told you it wasn't hard in this seat to try and navigate that complexity when it would be so much more simple just to throw out the sound bites. I know that's what makes the world go round, but it doesn't make the real world go around. We're going to go to a break in a minute. When we come back, I am really excited for the series that I've gotten to do with Vantage West Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, encouraging you to be an essential customer. You and I are essential customers. We've heard about essential workers that really did a lot during COVID-19. As we come out of the hopefully worst of COVID-19, you and I can be essential to the small businesses that we care about by patronizing them, by placing our business locally with them. And so a couple times a month, usually we get to spotlight a great local business that we love on this program. We hope you love them too. Hem and Her is iconic in this community, and we're going to have the owners Marv and Joyce on here for the balance of the hour. On that note, Matt, let's go to our last break of this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, visit some of our sponsors. When we come back, Hem and Her on the other side.
Tucson station for local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
And we are back here live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Good morning to you, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Essential workers have kept Tucson together through the pandemic, and now it's our turn. Our meaning you on this side of the mic and you on the other side listening to dine local, shop local, and spend local. We are essential customers keeping the businesses that we love, especially the local ones, alive and thriving, as so many of them have during COVID. And we want that to be even better here as we come out of, hopefully, the worst of COVID-19. Really honored and enjoy on this program about twice a month getting to talk with a local small business. In collaboration with Vantage West Credit Union and the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce to encourage you to be an essential customer. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Become a member owner at Vantage West. And a fan favorite of this community, a fan favorite of this station, I've come to learn, our guests today, Marv and Joyce of Hem and Her. Marv, we'll start with you. Good morning to you, sir. Welcome aboard.
Good morning, Zach. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I was thinking in preparation for this interview, I don't know if I know the short and sweet founding story of Hem and Her. How did Hem and Her come to Tucson? How long have you been here? What is Hem and Her?
Well, with that, I will turn the mic over to my lovely wife, who is the founder of Hem and Her.
We'll get Joyce in here, sneak over a little bit, and so we can hear you in the mic. Joyce of Hem and Her, the founding story in Tucson.
Hi. Okay. Well, so I started driving down from South Dakota to Tucson. I did not know anyone, but when I got here, I felt that sun on my skin and said that, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can to make this my community. And I did. I started my store in 1983.
Wow.
And I've been still, it'll be going on 40 years, and I almost can't believe it. I have just had a really good time for the last 40 years. It's been awesome. To meet the people of Tucson are so awesome. And during the pandemic, I ended up, you know, first crisis that morning when you woke up and found out about the pandemic, I went straight into my closet, my linen closet, and I grabbed all the sheets I could and started making masks for everybody that needed them until they started to become normal. You could buy them anywhere. But
So pre-pandemic, and then I do want to talk about during it and post-pandemic, Hem and Her, I think that name says a lot about your business, but tell the five people listening who don't know about Hem and Her, what is your business? What do you do? Who do you serve?
You know, I'm really a fashion designer, but I've chosen to do it in the pageanty, wedding dress, evening dress way. I've spent 38 years really concentrating on a person's body, their specific body. And I design clothes from scratch, of course, from the scratch from the beginning, but I also can tweak a gown that comes in from some of the companies that I do use. And what will happen is I don't only make the dress fit perfect on top, but I like redesign almost every single dress in my store that goes out of my store has been redesigned by a designer, me. And I really, really enjoy that a lot. I enjoy watching the women with smiles on their faces.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing probably more comforting, especially to a bride coming in who is wanting to get fit and look great for their event, or even if it's I know you do quinceañeras and formal events and weddings, and you kind of do it all. I've been in to get some of my pants tailored, and I'm about to come in and buy a couple of suits from you, because we are now back into events every now and again, and the dress shirt on top and the shorts and flip flops on the bottom that I could do on Zoom don't work for events anymore. So I'll be seeing y'all soon. Tell me about, and maybe this could be a question for Marv as well. Tell me what it was like running a business during COVID. I'm always curious to hear from business owners the highs and lows, the things that encouraged you, and then just, man, do I want to keep doing this moments? We don't get to hear that from small businesses a lot as we drive through this town, and I want to hear that story. What was it like doing business during COVID-19?
Yeah, well, for a small business, as it was for individual families, a real shock, especially as it relates to Hem and Her, because in Hem and Her, so much of our business is long-time planning.
Yes. And physical events.
And physical
right.
events. And when the events were canceled, the weddings were delayed, we had a lot of brides, a lot of event planners that had issues with where this is going to be. So in so many ways, Joyce and I had to retool what we were doing at that time to not only keep the business fresh, but to make good use of the time.
Right. Joyce, any thoughts on that? Because I do want to talk about part of the goal of this conversation series in partnership with the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce and Vantage West Credit Union, encouraging our listeners to be essential customers, is an optimistic look at the future. It's really say, look, when you patronize and invest in these small businesses, here's the future that you're investing in, this heroic thing we call men and women running and starting small businesses. What was that like, your life's work?
Oh, my gosh.
Going on somewhat of a pause.
It really wasn't a pause for me. I think I had so many rainy day projects, and then I did have a line of clothing that I wanted to design badly. It was a vintage / western wedding gown line that I was making, and I took advantage of the year and a half, and I made that line. Unfortunately, the pandemic lasted longer, and I wasn't able to show it. I may soon do that, but I have just really taken advantage of the time down to, you know, do all the rainy day projects. And I have invented something, because I feel like the pandemic kind of changed the way I don't know if people are noticing. I hope they are noticing how much the pandemic is changing the way normal people are dressing. It seems like they're starting to wear similar to pajamas sometimes. Like, they got so used to those robes that they were wearing, and people are really dressing down a lot now. I don't think that's going to change. I think the new, just like Chanel after the World War II, that had to get rid of the corsets and give some women some stretchy clothes that they could breathe, same as this pandemic. I really believe, being in my profession, that the whole way we dress is a lot more laid back. Men aren't wanting to rent the tuxedos anymore. They want the normal suits so that they can wear it again. And I've invented a 5-piece outfit where you can get a separate bodice, a separate pair of pants or skirt, long or short, flared or skinny, and then over top you can get a lace. It's a 5-piece suit, and they can use part of it for their reception and the other part for the honeymoon, and the wedding. And so it's pretty exciting to come up. I really believe that that's what people are going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for pieces that they can use again.
That's so interesting. You know, I used the word last year, pivot, so much that I put a self-made ban on it to try and say it as little as possible this year, if for nothing else, that it really was a 2020 word, and I think we've got better ones to pick from in 2021. But to me, you know, something that I never even thought of coming into this conversation that's just happening now is, not only was there a pivot in business, but you have mapped out that plague and pestilence and war throughout time changes what people want, changes what's required of you. And rather than just saying, well, we're going to push the pause button and we are just going to pick back up when things begin again, I feel that Tucson does that a lot. You and your business decided, let's use this to shift and follow the shift of what people do. I wonder if we can pull Marvin again on this and kind of look forward to the future with kind of what Joyce was mentioning. What does the business of Hem and Her and your property look like going forward to the next couple of years coming out of COVID?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the property, Zach. One of the things that is, as a local business person, that we found out that a lot of local mom and pop businesses were struggling with rent. But in addition to that, a lot of the federal programs like the PPP really didn't apply to the mom and pop operations. At this time, I'd like to give a shout out to the YWCA, which was very, very helpful in giving Hem and Her a grant, and the Business Development Corporation, who also was very involved in supporting local businesses. But I think the future lies, as you go into restaurants and the number of tables that are reduced, and we were in a place trying to get some ice cream, and the lobby is you can't use. So with our property, we're kind of hoping to develop the property that will give local businesses an opportunity to be in conjunction with other business, sort of like what the Mercado Annex did with the containers there. We've now got a local coffee guy that's on our property. He uses a local baker. So I think the future for small businesses is to downsize, to get efficient space.
Yep.
I would wish that, whether it be the community college or everybody else that's working on workforce development, I wish there would be a stronger component of entrepreneurship. And so I think the future is going to be different, and we embrace it and look forward to the changes. And I hope and I'm confident that Tucson will continue to support local restaurants, as through Tucson Originals and local restaurants. And that's what I'm hopeful for.
Marv, one last question, and I want to make sure we close here ask how people can come and shop and get their needs for clothing met at Hem and Her. But real quick, I had Edmund Marquez on the show right before you, Marv, and he said, you should ask business owners this question. This is off the air. He said, if you were mayor for a day, what would you do to make doing business even better and even easier in Tucson? So I'm going to try it out on you, Marv. Give me your 1-minute answer doesn't have to be, you know, perfect. Give me your 1 minute answer. Marv is mayor for a day. Make it easier for business in Tucson.
I would certainly look at the development code and make it easier to repurpose all of the older places that's in Tucson where people can do home-based businesses, and the development code, the certificate of occupancy, and obviously the streetscape is very, very critical.
Yep.
Let's start at the basics.
I love it. It's simple, and it really is that simple. I agree with you, Marv. Unscripted question. Again, this came up in my last interview, but I completely agree with you. Marv, I don't want to run out of time. And Joyce, it's great to be here. Where is Hem and Her? What are your hours? Excuse me. Where can people go if they're looking for the quinceañera, for a wedding, to reset their wardrobe after COVID-19? They need to come and see Hem and Her. How do they get to you?
Yeah, thanks. Hem and Her is at 4004 North Stone. We are in a 1920s renovated farmhouse set back off the road. We're open every day but Sunday and Monday. And to really get the location, there's a scissors attached to the mailbox. We're open mostly from 10 to about 4 o'clock every day. And when you call the store at 520-887-4739, believe it or not, you get a person. You get to talk to either Joyce or I, no matter what time of the day. And sometimes I sleep in the early mornings, but you'll be able to ask your questions after regular business hours.
I love it. I've been in there. Marv and Joyce have taken great care of me personally, and so I'll just put in my personal plug. These guys will take care of you really well, Hem and Her. That's time. We filled it all up. Thank you both for being here. We'll do this again soon, and much success to you.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you both and what you mean for Tucson. And Tucson, that does it for our show today. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. When we return, 9 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll talk with our faith and culture contributor and the most widely read Latino columnist in the country, Ruben Navarrete. Thursday is Arizona's director of housing. We're going to talk housing in Arizona, how we create more so people can afford to live in this great state. We'll be back with that and more this week here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Take care, Tucson. Stay safe. We'll see you on Wednesday.